Christ did. So don't miss next week. It's going to be good. You're going to enjoy that. But today, let's get into today's word. In the Gospel of Luke, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 56. Luke 8, 40 to 56. Also, there are parallel passages in Matthew 9 and Mark 5. Matthew 9 and Mark 5. That this is one of those passages that all three of the synoptic Gospels include. And it's powerful because we're going to talk about what would Jesus do with a hurting person? What would Jesus do with a hurting person? As we talk about cultivating, planting, watering, and harvesting, and we start to invest in people's lives, we start to get involved with people and want to engage with people in a more intentional basis, what we're going to run into is hurting people. Folks with wounds, folks with needs, folks that need time, folks that need compassion. And we don't always respond to them in the way that possibly Jesus would. I know I don't. Maybe I'll just speak for myself. That I don't always respond with the grace that Jesus would have me respond with. I don't always respond with generous time the way Jesus would. And so today I want to take us to this gospel story and find out what would Jesus do when he contemplated or when he encountered people that were really hurting. Let me give you some background in Luke chapter 8. I'm not going to read the big, long story, but let me give you background. Jesus is just returning from the east side of the lake. Now, the majority of the Jewish communities were on the north and the west side of the lake. On the east side of the lake were different communities that lived there. And it's that famous story where Jesus travels to that place. And when he travels there, he encounters this demon-possessed man. Now, he's not just possessed with one or two. He's possessed with tons of demons. So much so that when Jesus asks his name, the man says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And then we get an idea of how many when Jesus goes to cast the demons out of him. And there's a herd of pigs, about a couple of thousand of them. And the demons go into the pigs and all they rush into the lake and they die. So we got a couple thousand at least demons in this guy. I don't know how that works. To me, one would be enough. But this guy's got thousands. No wonder he's gone nuts. Now, here's what's weird about the story. As a result of the demons going out of the man who everybody knew about, the people of that region say, "Lord, this freaks us out. Leave us." Weird. Why would you want that kind of power to leave you? And the man, the one who had the demon, says, "I don't want to leave you. I want to go with you." And Jesus said, "No, you got to stay. Stay and tell the people how good God is." So on that, at that moment, then he gets back in the boat, heads back across the sea, likely to the area of Capernaum. It's kind of in the northwestern part of the Sea of Galilee. And that's where all the Jewish communities are. That's where the beaches are, where Jesus called James and John and Peter and Andrew into discipleship. Very, very common place where lots of the Bible stories happen. Well, the people expect him to arrive. So when he arrives, there is a huge crowd. Think huge like the Super Bowl, and you're trying to get in a couple of turnstiles to get in or get out. You've been to those events, right, where you're just kind of, you know, you can't move very fast. You're just, there's people everywhere. That's the crowd. How do I know? Because the Bible says that the crowd was so great that they were fear of getting crushed. That's a lot of people. In the midst of that, a guy comes and kneels before Jesus. How does he get through the crowd? We don't know. Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe he was already in close proximity. We don't know. But he kneels before Jesus, and his name is Jairus. Jairus is a synagogue ruler. He's a big wig. Because the synagogue rulers, the priests and the scribes and so on, were the civic leaders of the area. So this guy's known, and he's got prestige. And he comes and bows before Jesus and says, "Jesus, please, I've got a 12-year-old daughter and she's going to die. Would you please come to my house? If you touch her, she'll be healed." And Jesus immediately says, "Okay, I'm with you." And they head toward his house in that little, you know, waddle, kind of a walk with the crowd. And on their way, another lady interrupts their journey And she reaches out and touches Jesus' clothes. Now, this is a woman who'd been bleeding, like female bleeding, for 12 years and had no hope. She'd been to doctors, and it says that even though she went to doctors, she only got worse. I find it kind of funny that Luke is a doctor. And in Luke's gospel, he leaves that part out. Mark puts it in. He doesn't really care about doctors' reputations, but Luke doesn't put it in there. And she gets healed while on the way. That's the background of what's happening here. So how did Jesus respond to these two people is our lesson for today. How do we respond to hurting people? What did Jesus do? That gives us a clue what we should do also. Number one, Jesus always took time for people. Jesus always took time for people. A man named Jairus fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. The year Jairus' daughter was born was the year the woman started bleeding. Coincidence? I don't know. There's a lot of different ideas of how all this works and how these stories are connected. The fact of the matter is this. Jairus enjoyed 12 years of sunshine. 12 years of laughter. 12 years of tickle games. 12 years of bouncing on the knee. I've had two daughters that were 12 once. It's a great season of life. And I couldn't imagine having either one of those little girls just suddenly sick and about to die. No wonder this man is just so completely desperate to find Jesus, his only hope. He falls down at Jesus' feet. He says, Jesus, if you'll just come to my house and touch my daughter. Now, Jairus had just a fraction of faith, because he could have saved Jesus and himself a lot of time if he were like the centurion. Remember that story? When the centurion says, you don't even have to come to my house. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed, because I'm a man under authority and I know you're under authority. Well, you see, Jairus didn't have that kind of faith. He didn't understand the system like that, but Jesus didn't mind. Jesus said, okay, maybe I need to travel and come to your house and touch her. I'm willing to do that. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't require certain amounts of performance on our part in order to reach out and touch? Amen. Neither should we demand someone be at a certain level before we reach out and touch. Prove yourself. Clean up a little bit. Change your behavior. Then I'll help. Not Jesus. Jesus says, I'm willing to come. I'm willing to come and help you. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. This woman breaks into the story. The story is about Jairus and his 12-year-old daughter. This woman breaks in, and Jesus takes the pause. If I'm Jairus, I'm thinking, Jesus, deal with her later. My daughter is in need right now. But Jesus has the ability to manage more things than just what he's going to do. She's desperate. 12 years. I'm not a woman. I can't really relate to this. Ladies, I'm not going to get gross, but you know what I mean. 12 years of that time of the month? Yeah. A horrible, horrible life she was living. Very, very discouraging. Very, very painful. Very, very just, there's more to it that I'll get to in a moment. 12 years of sunshine for Jairus going to be extinguished while the woman is in 12 years of darkness. You ever been around somebody that had a need and their timing was just bad? Their timing was just bad. I've been around situations like that. And sometimes I say to myself, somebody really ought to do something. I mean, I don't have the time right now. I'm busy. I mean, and I've done my part. If I'm Jesus, then, you know, what do you want from me? I just set a guy free from 2,000 demons. I just crossed the lake. I mean, I need a little break here. I need a little breather. Jairus, I'll catch you. Lady, don't you understand? I got Jairus. I'll catch you. No. I mean, I would do that. I may be tempted to do that. Not Jesus. And I'm so glad that Jesus never tells me, hey, would you wait a second? I got somebody else to deal with. Our God is so great. Our God is greater. Our God is higher than any other we sang today. Our God has the ability to touch each one and give everyone 100% attention all at the same time. Jesus always takes time. When you pray, He always listens. When you cry out, He's always there. When you have a need, He always comes to comfort. When you need an answer, He'll always supply. That's our God. What would Jesus do? He would take time, even if it's inconvenient. That's what we should do. Somebody really ought to do something. Well, you're somebody. I hear the Holy Spirit say that to me all the time. God, somebody ought to do it. I hear that voice. Well, you're somebody. If not you, who? If not us, who? We're the church. Jesus always took time. Jesus accepted people where they are. Number two. Jairus was a synagogue ruler, a man of standing in the community. One could understand why someone would want to help him. I mean, he's got money, he's got power, he has standing. If you help him, people would say, well, of course, I mean, he's Jairus, he's the guy. And there might even be the thinking, not in Jesus, but in our, the back of our mind, that if we do this, well, you know, my perk might come my way. Maybe there might be a little bit of something in there for me. Somebody can understand why you might go the extra mile for a guy like Jairus. But the woman, on the other hand, she was an outcast. Ceremonially unclean. Considered immoral. Let me explain this to you. In Jewish tradition, not according to the Levitical law, but to Jewish tradition, if you were a female and you had extensive bleeding, it was considered a sign that you had been sexually immoral. So this wasn't just that she was sick. It's that her sickness gave everybody else the idea, according to their tradition, that she'd been a really, really wicked woman and a really, really loose woman, which, according to what we understand, she wasn't. So it wasn't just her body that was messed up. It was her reputation that was messed up. It was her standing in the community that was messed up. Leviticus chapter 15, verses 19 to 33 says this: when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continued beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she had the discharge, just as in the days of her period. Anyone who touches her is unclean. Anything she lies on during her period will be unclean. Anything she sits on will be unclean. Whoever touches anything she has lied on is unclean. If a man lies with her, he will be unclean. This woman was a mess. No one could touch her. She couldn't touch anybody. No one could touch what she touched. No one could come near her for fear that they would become unclean too. This woman just didn't have a bleeding issue. This woman had a complete life issue because of her uncleanness. Because everybody else wanted to be good Jews for 12 years. We've been in isolation for 1 year. And not even 1 year, because a lot of folks have been out and about. I can't imagine not having a meaningful touch in 12 years. Or not having touched someone meaningfully for 12 years. But that was the situation this woman was in. Because of that uncleanness, she was excommunicated from the temple. She was excommunicated from the synagogue. Because you're unclean, you got to go outside. She could not worship. Now, I find it interesting. These Jairus and the woman are in the same community. It is possibly likely that she had heard from Jairus himself, the synagogue ruler, telling her she can't come. What else makes sense? He's the ruler. And she's the one who can't come into the presence of God. She can't come to any religious assembly. She can't come into any fellowship. She's a pariah in her community. Because she's sick. The fact of the matter is this. She was so desperate, she didn't care anymore. She just didn't care anymore. I'm going to fight through this crowd. I'm getting to them. Maybe it'll freak people out. Maybe they'll go, ah, there's that unclean woman. There's that immoral woman. Maybe so. But I know that Jesus is coming this way, and I need a touch. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. The woman caught a hold of Jesus, and he turned to her, and he loved her. Church, what would Jesus do? Either to a person of standing or an outcast. The book of Romans says there's no favoritism with him. There ought not to be favoritism with us. Are some people untouchable for us? Are some people just too unclean? Are some people just too unsavory? Not to Jesus. I'll never forget back in the days when we used to do Wow Jams. Wow Jam was a thing down in SoCal with Steve and Linda Tavani. We'd do these big community festival days, and 4,000 or 5,000 people would come and receive groceries and things and care. And it was just a big, huge, gigantic Jesus party. There'd be 4 or 5 of them in a row, and at the end of the week, there'd be a baptism. And I'll never forget, this baptism changed my life about how Jesus cares for us. Because you see, the people that accepted Jesus were instructed to dress up. And then you're going to catch the buses, and the buses are going to take you down to Santa Monica Pier, and they're going to be baptized in the ocean. And all of us workers were there waiting for them, and we could catch sight of the buses as the buses, 3 or 4 of them would roll in. And as the buses stopped, all of us would cheer for the people coming off the bus. And these people were so excited to get baptized. The thing about these people, though, is that their best didn't look exactly like our best. Some of the men got off the bus. Their t-shirts were torn. Their jeans were dirty. Their shoes had holes in them. But they walked off that bus proud. Some of the women didn't have a lot of nice clothes, and some of them didn't have a lot of clothes at all. Some of them came off the bus dressed in very little. But they had a smile on their face because they're getting baptized. And as I watched that scene, as with the workers were kind of taking the position like the rejoicing angels welcoming people into heaven. And I remember the scripture, our righteousness is like filthy rags. And I thought, I'm that person. If I'm dressed in my own righteousness, I'm that person right there. And in that moment, there was just a change of heart. There was no apprehension at all to go and grab those guys who hadn't showered and were beat up. And it's only been a couple of days since they got saved. Some of them were still kind of strung out. But you see, Jesus accepts people. That's what he would do. No matter where they are. No matter what condition they're in. And we are those people. What would Jesus do? He'd always take time for people. What would Jesus do? He'd accept people just as they are. Number 3. Jesus ignored the opinion of the crowd in order to bring wholeness to a hurting soul. What did this lady do? She reached out. Thank you, babe. I had a hanky and I forgot it. Thank you. There it is. She touched the hem of his garment. Now, some think that the hem means like a hem on a dress. Okay, it means she grabbed his clothing. And we know that she wasn't kneeling because when Jesus turned to see her, then she fell on her feet. And I have a Jewish prayer shawl here. This is one that's worn on the head, but it's similar. That if you can see out before I throw it on each corner, there are these extra tassels. They're longer, and there's a blue thread running through them. There's one on each corner, so there are 4 of them. And there's some significance to those. And Jesus would have worn it something like this, with a little, and in this corner with this tassel would be kind of thrown across his shoulder. And this is a little smaller. His would be longer. So he might wear it something like that. So you can see that there's a tassel on the back. And as Jesus was walking, it says she came up from behind him and she grabbed the tassel. That's the hem. She grabbed that. Now, as soon as she grabbed it, it wasn't just like a, maybe I'll just touch it. No, it says she grabbed it. She clutched it. She was desperate, remember. And when she was desperate, she grabbed a hold of that. And when she did, the power of God, the power of God went through. You see, in that moment, Peter turns. Well, let me back up. Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? Because power just went out of me. Went out of me. And Peter, one of the crazy says, you see people crowded around you, and yet you ask, who touched me? I get what he's saying. Everybody's jostling him. Remember, the crowd. Like, okay, you know, boom, 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 boom. They're just trying to get through. Jesus, everybody is touching you. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. Somebody touched me. There's a difference. There's a heart of a touch. Everybody else was busy. Everybody else was getting somewhere. Everybody else was on their way. Everybody else was managing something. Everybody else was just, you know, doing, doing, doing. But one lady had a purpose. One lady was, that's what I need right there. That's him. And nothing's going to stop me. Jesus wasn't swayed by that crowd. Jesus was getting jostled. The crowd is not what bothered him. Or nothing bothered him. The crowd is not what distracted him or interested him. What interested him in that moment was that someone had faith to want him like that. And that was that lady. While he turns, he calls her out. And she falls at his feet. And he blesses her. And in that moment, that woman's 12 years of bleeding stopped. But the crowd didn't get it. The crowd didn't make sense to them. In that moment, while he's saying, blessed are you, lady, and great is you have faith to get healed. While he's saying that, a man came in and says, Jairus, sorry, dude, your daughter died. In that moment. And Jesus says, don't worry, Jairus. Jairus, see what's going on here? You see what's happening? Jairus, do you see? Look at this. Look at this scene. Jairus, look at the woman. 12 years bleeding. She's good now. Don't fear. Just believe. And Jairus, we don't know what he said, but we get the hint that he believed because he still went with Jesus. And while he goes with Jesus, they get home. And when they get home, the mourners are there. And they had professional mourners in those days, as well as the family members. And they're weeping, and they're crying, and they're wailing. And Jesus says, would you people be quiet? She's not dead. She's asleep. And they laugh and laugh and laugh. And Jesus says, you people go away. Luke doesn't say this, but Mark and Matthew do. He sent them away. Says, Jairus, come on in. Bring your wife. And he raises that little child up. I don't know about you, but sometimes the crowd comes against your kindness. What are you doing? Why are you spending that money that way? Why are you spending that time that way? You could be doing other things. This doesn't make any sense. Why are you giving like that? And the crowd would want to divert. The crowd would want to push and pull and move you. Why are you hanging out with that person? I could see in schools, if you young people are at school, why are you befriending that person? Nobody likes them. I felt that peer pressure. You're eating lunch with them? Why? They're dorks. Don't hang out with them. Don't let the crowd mess you up. Because that's not what Jesus would do. What Jesus would do would ignore all that noise, ignore all that crowd, ignore all that murmuring, and he would touch the one who needs to be touched. That's what Jesus would do. So he ignores all that. And a woman gets healed, and the daddy gets his daughter back. Jesus would take time. Jesus wouldn't care who the person is. He'd love him anyway. Jesus would listen to the crowds. And number four, Jesus would restore the dignity as well as the body. When the woman touched him, Jesus turned and said, "Who touched me?" And Jesus asked, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Jesus outed this lady. Wouldn't it have been better just to let her be okay with her healing? No, it wouldn't have been better. And here's why. Jesus wanted to restore her whole person, not just her body. Remember, she's an outcast. Remember, she's not allowed. And remember, Jairus, the synagogue ruler, is standing right there. And in that moment, he needs to be able to make a statement that says, "This woman is good now. She's in. She's acceptable. She's lovable." Otherwise, how does she prove it? It's kind of embarrassing to have to prove it. Jesus takes that all away in one moment. And he doesn't call her out to embarrass her. He calls her out to restore her. Like Adam and Eve in the bushes. "I'm not calling you out to embarrass your nakedness. I'm calling you out because I love you. And I want to restore you." Mark says Jesus kept looking around and did not stop looking until she admitted it was her. And then he looks at her and he says very, very gentle, kind words. Don't you love what he calls her? The lady could have been older than Jesus, but he took spiritual authority and says, "Daughter, daughter." Again, I got two daughters. I have one granddaughter. Nobody else gets to be called that. It's precious. It's sweet. It's endearing. Jesus is basically saying, "I love you. I love you. Daughter, your faith has healed you." And she receives his restoration. While that's happening, the guy comes in and says, "Jairus, your daughter is dead." While he's saying this, and the scripture doesn't say, but I have to believe that Jesus is looking at Jairus and Jesus is looking at the lady. And looking at Jairus and looking at the lady and saying, "Jairus, you see what's happening here, right? You see this." Jesus wants to restore the dignity and the wholeness to a person. But she's no longer unclean. He says, "Don't be afraid, Jairus. Just believe and she will be healed." Jesus goes to that house, goes into the room, takes this little 12-year-old girl by the hand. And interesting, the words are again in Mark, in the Aramaic. And the Aramaic words mean, "Little lamb, get up." Again, the sweetest words. Remember what Jesus said in John 21? "Peter, feed my lambs." And Jesus is taking that God perspective and says to her, "Ah, little lamb, you're okay. Don't be scared. Don't be nervous." And he raises her up. I wonder if Jairus needed to hear that more than the girl, because if the girl had truly died, she had already seen God face to face. The fact of the matter is that Jesus restored the dignity as well as the body. We can learn a lot about what would Jesus do when we're trying to cultivate, plant, water, and harvest. Because we're going to run into people who are not as clean, who are not as whole, who are not as tidy, who are not as reputable, who are not as, you know, up to our such righteous standards. And Jesus is going to say, "Are you serious right now? Let me tell you what I would do. I would take time with them. I would not show favoritism. Doesn't matter who or where. I would not be concerned about what everybody else says. And I would make sure that I would not just do my duty and, you know, give them $20 to get their gas tank filled. I would instead want to restore their dignity That's what Jesus would do. In church, that's what we need to do. Let's do that. And if we do, we'll see some people restored, like this lady and the synagogue ruler. If you don't know Jesus today, I hope you put two and two together. This is the kind of God we have. If you're nervous about God, if you're concerned about being acceptable to Him, if you've got fears being vulnerable before Him, can I just tell you, what I've been preaching today is God's attitude toward you. He's going to take time for you. Take time for Him. He's going to accept you just as you are. You don't have to be anybody or do anything. He loves you already. Everybody else might have said you're unacceptable. Everybody else might have said you're a lost cause. You've gone too far. You've sinned too much. You've sinned too long. Jesus says, don't listen to that stuff. My grace is sufficient and my love is complete. And He wants to love you. And Jesus wants to restore you completely, inside and out. That's our God. So I want to pray for you today, because if you want that kind of God, you can have Him today. Today, you can. And watch how He'll restore your life. It may not happen instantaneously like it did for the woman's healing or Jairus' daughter. I've been serving Jesus for over 45 years, and I still got stuff. But I'll tell you what, He's patient. And He'll walk with you every single day. Never leave you, never forsake you. All you need to do is want Him. You can pray something like this, and I'm going to pray and you join with me. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You are a God who touches hurting people. I'm hurting today. I'm confused, and I need You. I don't know exactly how everything works, but what I do know is that I want You. Like the lady, I'm not sure she knew how everything worked. She just needed to touch You. Like Jairus, I'm not sure he knew how it was all going to play out, but he just needed to get to You. Lord, today I just need to get to You. And I believe You'll accept me like You did those two. I come to You, Lord, just as I am. And I ask You to come into my life. Be my Lord, and I'll follow You. Be my Savior, and I'll worship You. Today, I call upon Your name. And I know by faith that You will come into my life. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen. I don't know what your life is like. I feel like sometimes my life is a little sheltered being a pastor. But I don't travel in the circles you travel. I don't go to a workplace like you. I come here. But I got to believe there's some hurting people no matter where you are. Those hurting people might wear ties and drive Mercedes and have CEO on their desk plate. But they're still hurting. It's the thing about this valley. Hurting people don't look like hurting people in other places. So I hope and pray, church, that you will go and be like Jesus this week. And be sensitive, be aware, and notice, so that you can do what Jesus would do and touch the hurting one. For 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, this is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. That's our mandate today. Let's go do that. Father, thank You for this morning. We give You all the glory. And now we go out to touch hurting people like You. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,